Number 330 will be the song of encouragement. Number 330.
Well, singing like that, it makes you want to preach. And thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for encouraging me and each other with our worship. And of course, most of all, we pray that it has been pleasing to God. Appreciate your presence. Our guests are very honored that you've chosen to come and be with us today. In the New Testament, we find a number of warnings about false teachers. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And then again, we find a warning over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies." And this word is repeated again in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Over and over and over again in almost every New Testament book, we find warnings about false doctrine, about false teaching, about false prophets. Obviously, this was a concern of Jesus and a concern of the apostles. Thus, it wouldn't surprise us then when we come to those books commonly referred to, I don't know if it's a very good term, the pastoral epistles, but when we come to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, when primarily Paul is dealing with the responsibility of the evangelist, that we would find that in these books there would also be warning about false teachers and false doctrine. For example, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5, Paul says, and this is a paraphrase of those verses, but he says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous time will come, for men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away." I would suggest to you that first of all, the real danger of the false teacher was in what he taught. Notice that in the text he says they love pleasure rather than God. The point is that they love pleasure more than what God wants or what He desires. That is, they have no concern or consideration for the commandments or the Word of God. But also, not only was that a part of the danger of the false teacher, but was also the second aspect of that danger is in the impact or where it leads. In the same text, he says they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And he says, from these men you need to turn away. The word godliness is basically a word that describes a lifestyle. It is piety, or righteous living, or living in such a way to have a Godward attitude that is a great desire to please God. Thus, the danger of false teaching was not only in the fact that it wasn't the Word of God, but it was also in where it led, and that is that it led rather to a godly lifestyle, to an ungodly lifestyle. Paul says, "Timothy, concerning these men, you need to turn away from them." There was the warning then again about false teachers and about false teaching. We find the same thing also in the book of Titus. In fact, there is a word that we commonly use in common conversation with brethren that is found time and again in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And the word is the word sound. And we find that that word is commonly coupled then with the word doctrine, sound doctrine. And time and again we find that the Apostle Paul is exhorting and encouraging Timothy and Titus, that as evangelists, those men who are true to the Word of God, that they are to teach sound doctrine. But the question is, just what is sound doctrine? Well, first of all, sound doctrine, or doctrine or teaching, is sound, number one, because it comes from the Word of God. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10 through 11, And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, that is, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust, it is only sound if it comes from the gospel of God. This teaching is only sound or proper or wholesome if it comes from the voice and word of God. Therefore, it does matter what you teach and what you practice. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. In fact, one of the greatest lies that has been foisted upon people is that it doesn't matter what you teach. But let me suggest to you something else. Not only was it sound because it came from the Word of God, but Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. Notice our word godliness again used in 1 Timothy. Paul says, Timothy, there are some men that do not consent to wholesome words. And these wholesome words, or the unwholesome words, leads to an ungodly lifestyle. It was sound not only because it come from God, but because of the impact that it had upon the people. Now turn to Titus. Because we find the same pattern also found in the book of Titus. What is sound doctrine? In Titus chapter 1, we notice that the Apostle Paul here, first of all, encourages Titus that he's to go and to appoint elders in every city. And in that context, he provides qualification for these men. And among the qualifications is that they are to hold fast to the faithful word. What is that faithful word? It is the word that comes from God. The word that comes from God. He says there to hold fast the faithful word as he had been taught. Why? So that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convict those who contradict or convict the gainsayer. One of the responsibilities of an elder is to convict those who contradict. And how do they do that? Paul says they will do it with sound doctrine. That is, they will do it with the faithful word, that is the word of God. It is sound only if it comes from God's word. And therefore, it does matter what you teach and practice. As I said a minute ago, one of the greatest lies that Satan has told us, tell people is, all roads lead to heaven. Many roads lead to heaven. And it doesn't really matter what you teach or what you practice. You can do whatever you want to do. And it does matter what we teach and practice in regard to our worship. What we do in regard to our work. What we teach about the nature of God. What we teach about the nature of Jesus. What we do with regard to fellowship. Who we are in fellowship with in a local church. What we teach about marriage. What we teach about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What we teach about faith and works. And what we teach about baptism. All of these things are important. It does matter what you teach. And it isn't sound. It is not a sound practice or sound teaching unless it comes from a thus saith the Lord. It comes from the Word of God. But then, by the same token, it is sound also because of its impact. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. I want you to think for a minute, first of all, about that word proper. Over in the book of Ephesians, if you want to hold your place in Titus, and look in Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 4, there is a statement made by Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 4, referring to the character and conduct of Christians. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, that is not proper, but rather giving of thanks. The point is that this kind of conduct is not proper for a child of God. It is not fitting for one who claims to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ. The same word is used by Paul in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But as for you, Titus, you speak the things which are proper, are fitting for sound doctrine. The point here is character. We'll look at that in a minute as we look at the context. But look back in chapter 1, verse 16. Just before chapter 2. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. In their practice, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Those who practice things other than sound doctrine, this describes their character. They are disobedient and disqualified for every good work. But as for you, Titus, you must speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. Therefore, it not only matters what you teach, but it also matters what you become, the kind of person that you are. You know, in the book of Romans, the second chapter, Apostle Paul is dealing with some of these Jewish Christians. And in Romans chapter 2, the real problem here was not necessarily in what was uttered, but in the lack of character of those individuals. Notice what Paul says in Romans 2 and verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. And know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. And are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. The point was not necessarily in what they taught. It was accurate, but the point was character. Keep reading. In verse 21, he says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you not commit adultery? You abhor idols, do you rob temples? You make your boast in the law, do you dishonor? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Here were these people who were very, very uppity, very haughty, deemed themselves to be teachers of the law, but Paul says, no, what you are hypocrites. While they may have been sound in teaching, that is, from the things that came from God's Word, they weren't practitioners of God's Word. Well, this is the same point that Paul is making when he's writing Titus. It does matter what we become. And therefore, Paul says in Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10 that first of all, sound doctrine is about everyone. Notice what he says here. In verse 2, he addresses the older men. In verse 3, he addresses the older women. In verse 4, he addresses the young women. And in verse 6, he addresses the young men. Sound doctrine not only is in what we teach, but who we become. It is about developing godly character. It is about the godly character of the older men, the older women, the young women, and the young men. That's the point that Paul is making here in the book of Titus. He's talking about their godly character. It's about everyone. And not only is it about everyone, but number two, as we've already established, it is about character. In this section, the first 10 verses seem to relate to each other, and the very last thing that he says, if you will, in this paragraph is, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Paul is saying, Titus, the old men and the older women and the young men need to adorn the doctrine of God. The word adorn here simply means to ornament. I guess it's kind of like when we go around and decorate the house. That'd be the idea. But here is someone who, because of their life and character, ornament or become a declaration of sound doctrine. A declaration in character of those who practice the Word of God. You see, sound doctrine is not only what we teach, but it does matter what we become. It's for everyone, and it is about our character. How many times do we find that repeated not only in Titus, but throughout the New Testament? Hold your place in Titus, and first of all, turn with me to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12, and in verses 1 and 2. In Romans 12, in verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says that those who are truly disciples of Christ are those who have determined no longer to be conformed to this world and its impurity, but rather to be transformed, to become all that God wants them to be, to present their lives as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God, that is godly through and through. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning with verse 18, Paul says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. My goal and your daily goal ought to be is that today in body, in what I say, in what I do, and where I go, I am going to glorify and honor God. You see, practicing sound doctrine is about who I am. Yes, it has to do with how we worship. It has a great deal to do with what we do as far as our work together in a local church. It has something to do with regard to our fellowship. And God is concerned about what we teach about the nature of God, about His nature and the nature of Jesus. But He is also concerned with the kind of people and the kind of lives that we are living, who we are and the kind of character that we have. It's about growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says in the 13th verse that he wants us to become that perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Paul says, put away the works of the flesh in the context. And he says, put on the fruit of the Spirit. All of these, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and so forth, they deal with our character, the kind of people that we have become. And Paul wants us to grow in those areas and in that relationship. But let's go back to Titus for a minute. It does matter what we come. First of all, in Titus, we notice that sound doctrine is number one for the older men. In verse 2, he says, older men, be sober. That is, be serious-minded. Be reverent. Living in a reverential and awe of God. Be temperate, that is, self-control. Be sound in faith. Here is a man who has demonstrated time and time again through the trials of life that he believes in God and that he trusts in God. Be sound in love. He is someone who has demonstrated time and again that he really cares about others. And he cares about God. And let him be not only that, but in sound, in patience. That is, in perseverance and in patience with others. So we can have a church that doesn't support human institutions that worshiped God correctly and properly. But in that congregation, if there is an older gentleman who is irreverent, who is impatient, who hasn't learned to be loving, who isn't kind, who isn't the kind of person who has a great faith, then he in that sense is not sound. And the same is true with regard to older women. He says, concerning the older women, likewise that they be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers. That is, they are in control of their tongue. They're careful about what they say, not given to much wine, in control of their appetite, and they are teachers of good things. I want to kind of chase a rabbit a minute. At the last, he says, teachers of good things. Notice how many times in this book that Paul uses that word good. For example, in verse 14, he says that Jesus, in the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 14, that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, God's people, that are zealous for what? For good practice or good works. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and to authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and things that I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And in chapter 3 and in verse 14, and let our people learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. And the responsibility, he says, back in chapter 2 of the older women, is that they are to be teachers of good things. It's only good, number one, if it comes from God's Word. And number two, it is only good when it has an impact upon others and upon their character. And that's the point that he's making in the passage. That they, verse 4, may admonish the young women. Sound doctrine is not only for older women, but also for young women. That they may admonish the young women to love their husbands. That is, to enjoy being the wife of a husband. That they may love their children. That is, that they enjoy motherhood. That they love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. And that is, that they're sober and serious-minded. That they're to be chaste. Chaste simply means to be pure. That is, they're very careful about how they dress, about how they behave, about where they go. Homemakers, keepers at home. That is, their primary duty and responsibility is to the home. They are good. They are obedient to their own husbands so that the Word of God is not blasphemed. So you have a church that worships God according to His authority and worship. They don't support institutions. But you have the elder women that are irreverent, ungodly young men, women, not devoted to God, slanderers, always gossiping. I would suggest to you that they're not sound. And in the same context, you have young women, and you have a young woman who is more concerned about her career and her 401k than she is her children and their soul and the home. Then in that sense, she isn't sound. That's what Paul's saying here. It's about godly character. And finally, this sound doctrine is also for the young men. He says, likewise, exhort the young men to be serious-minded. In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works. Oh, wait a minute. I thought while I was young I had the right to sow my wild oats. Well, that's where you're mistaken. Paul says, young man, you need to be a pattern. You need to be an example to others in doctrine, showing integrity, in reverence, incorruptibility, sound in speech, That is, they know you because they know the kind of way you talk. They can look and tell that in your speech that you are different. That you don't use the gutter language of the world, but rather you are wholesome in what you say. Sound in speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed of your conduct, having nothing evil to say of you. There's a challenge. Young man, you need to live in such a way that no one has anything evil to say about you. Now, you can have a church that has all the things in place with regard to worship and work and the nature of God and the nature of Jesus, and we give our amens. But if you have young men that are not being a pattern of good works, not living a wholesome and godly lifestyle, that in that sense, then, they are not sound. That's the point that Paul is making here in Titus. It's not only about what we teach, but it's also about what we become. Notice in the second chapter what he says in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works. Jesus Christ died upon the cross for a reason, not so that we might just be redeemed from sin, but also so that we might become God's people. God's special people. A people zealous of good works. My brother, God wants to make us into something very special. The problem sometimes is that we're stubborn in that. God wants to make us into something very wholesome and very wonderful. He wants us to make us into something that in which we daily are representation of His moral excellency in all that we do and all that we say. But sometimes we need to throw down the barrier and we need to give our all to God and let Him have His way with us. If you're here today and not a child of God, that first act is baptism. But that's just the beginning. Baptism is just the first step, not only to a new relationship, but also to a new kind of life. And God will take you, if you'll let Him, and make you into something that is indeed very, very special. If that's your desire, and we can assist you today and help you in any way, we invite you to come. We stand and sing the song for you.